Hi guys, welcome to Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And guys, welcome to a little early Christmas present from us to you. I know you're probably surprised it's a Friday, you know, but I know you looked, you saw the title, I know you saw the picture. And Eugene, should I drop it?
I think you should. We've been dropping hints on social as well.
We've been dropping hints. But guys, we are so happy to have this opportunity to let you guys know that we had a successful interview with the one and only Francis Tiafoe, 59 in the world.
Big foe.
That's right. Big foe. We got big foe. Yeah. A great interview here. And we hope that you enjoy it. We certainly did.
Indeed.
It was a hectic couple of minutes, we did it.
A few technical issues, but we got through it.
We got through it. So this is just an exclusive. This is our, you know, it's not our first interview, definitely not, but it's definitely something that was big from us, and we hope that you enjoy it. And again, we'd like to say a big thank you to Francis for giving us the time, and again also thank you to Zach.
Indeed. his coach for helping us out.
So hope you guys enjoy.
Indeed. Yeah, like if we just get into it. So can I ask you, like, do you watch much tennis in your free time?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I definitely like to watch tennis when I'm not playing it, for sure.
Like, so it's not something you're like kind of sick of, like once you're off court, like you're not watching anymore, like you actually do enjoy watching matches?
Yeah, I mean, good matches, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So who are some of the players?
Yeah, I love the game. Yeah, I like to watch the game, for sure.
Who are some of the players you enjoy like watching?
I think a lot of young guys like around my age, you know, I love to watch. Obviously, everyone loves to watch Roger, Rafa. I think those are, everybody would say that. But you know, my favorite players, like, you know, like growing up, you know, I love watching Del Potro. Thought his game was great, especially, you know, 2009 when he won the US Open. I thought that was incredible. But I like watching a lot of young guys. I think because that also inspires me, you know, seeing Shapovalov, you know, Felix, even Ard, these guys do well. You know, I think, you know, watching them do that definitely inspires me as well.
Oh, that's awesome. We're going to be jumping around a bit, so like bear with us. So the next question is, obviously being a tennis player, like you travel quite a lot. So we're just wondering, like, what would be your favorite city or country like to travel to, if you do have one?
Favorite place to travel to? I mean, going to Rome every year is pretty cool.
So it's Italy.
Been going to Paris.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
So
Milan down blue city.
So Europe basically.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously in America, like it doesn't mean as much to you, because, you know, obviously being American, so you can go to any of the other places here. But my favorite actually city is Prague. When I went to Prague for the first Labor Cup,
interesting.
That was actually my favorite city.
What year was that?
2017.
Oh, okay, yeah. Did USA win that, or was that Europe? West of the world,
no,
sorry.
Never won one, actually. Yeah, Team World never won one, so hopefully that'll change.
Are you looking to play, is it next year? They'll be playing that again.
Yeah, TD Garden. So hopefully get my ranking back up and hopefully be part of the squad. I mean, that would be nice. Great atmosphere, one of the best events that I think we have now, so I'd love to be a part of it.
No, wicked. And yeah, again, like, this is not tennis related. So favorite films, like, obviously, I take it you have like Netflix and like, you know, you're streaming stuff online. Like, what are some of the like films you're watching like at the moment, or I don't know, TV episodes you're kind of watching at the moment?
Show on Starz called Power. You know, I love this one. That's a great show.
Yeah.
This new show that 50 started, For Life, also a really good show. During quarantine when it first broke out. Watch How to Get Away with Murder. Love that.
Oh, I love, yeah. I love watching How to Get Away with
Murder. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got really hooked on that.
Big fan.
As far as movies, I mean, like, as far as the movies, I just watched this recent movie called the Foreigner, Jackie Chan was in it. I thought that was insane.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean.
Do you have like a, I don't know, like a go-to movie, like, I don't know, like a favorite movie of all time?
Yeah, one of my favorite movies is O2, both Will Smith, Focus and Hicks.
Okay.
Will Smith fan.
Love Will Smith.
Legend. And like, yeah, music. So what kind of music are you listening to at the moment? Because I'm going to say, I don't know if you're a Tidal, I'm going to say you're a Tidal subscriber or you Spotify or iTunes.
Yeah, I'm a Apple Music guy for sure.
Okay. Because yeah. we're Team Tidal over here, Jay-Z and all that, you know. But yeah, I don't. Did iTunes do like the end of year rundown? Like, you know, when they show you like your most played artists.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what was your
most played? Is definitely Drake. You know, I'm a big Drake guy. I love Drake. But I play also a lot of Afrobeats music.
Hey. So, who are some of the artists you like?
Big Burner Boy fan. Wizkid, obviously.
Huge.
Dave. Jay Huss, I mean, all.
Oh, so you're into the UK stuff as well?
Right.
Love that.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot, man.
So what's like a track for you, like you like to maybe listen to? Because I see you with your headphones and you come onto the court. Like, who are you listening to, like, to G you up before a match?
Before a match, either Meek Mill, Nipsey Hussle,
yes.
Or sometimes Lil Baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we like all those artists. I love the fact that you're into Afrobeats as well. That's huge.
Yeah, that's big.
That's massive.
Sorry, I was really quiet. But okay, so since you know, you explained that you're into Afrobeats and stuff, so you know, we know that you're from Sierra Leone.
Right.
Which is actually pretty close to a country where, one of the countries I'm from. I don't know if you heard of Senegal or Guinea-Conakry.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And funny enough, your surname is very, very common in our country as well, but I think it's spelled differently with a C rather than a K, which was really interesting to see. But we wanted to know, actually, if you're big on African cuisine. So, like, for example, I'm pretty sure you've dealt with people debating with the whole jollof rice, like if
jollof rice.
You know, if Nigerian jollof rice is better than the Sierra Leone or something. You know, a lot of West African countries have their own way of making jollof. So what's your take on that? Are you more the Nigerian, the one from your country, the one from other countries? It's a safe space.
I'm probably gonna stay with my Sierra Leone dishes.
Okay.
Fair enough. Potato leaves and things like that. That's kind of my thing. My brother loves fufu, crane crane and shit like that. Yeah, I mean, I love, what else I love? Granite soup, I love, what else I like?
Do you have like pepper soup in Sierra Leone?
Pepper soup, yeah, that's what we call it in Sierra Leone.
Love that, yeah. Because I'm half Nigerian, so very similar cuisine. Mm. We're neighbours, by the way, so yeah.
But do you go back home often? Like, do you?
I haven't been back since I was a youngin.
Oh, wow, do you see yourself going though?
Would love to definitely go back, but I haven't been back since I was 8.
Wow. Yeah, pretty long time. Well, I hope you get to go soon. You know, there's really no place like home.
Definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know you're like a Washington native. Obviously, like born and raised in Washington. So, how excited are you for the Washington Wizards upcoming season? I know you just acquired Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, we just acquired Westbrook. So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited. Some new energy in there. Obviously, Westbrook brings it every night. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm super excited about it. I think that's going to be an unbelievable backcourt with him and Brad. And we got some shooters around. So I'm excited. It's different to see John Wall leave. I mean, 10 years there.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like it ended in such a fashion, but the name of the business.
No, indeed. Are you into any other sports? I saw you, I think this week you were at the USA, was it the USA football match or soccer match, you guys call it?
Right. Yeah, I was there. One of my neighbors loves soccer and took my dad out. My dad's birthday is coming up, so not the biggest soccer fan. And then when it comes to other sports, you know, I'm a hockey fan when the when the Caps win the Stanley Cup.
Interesting.
I kind of hop on the bandwagon, but no, my main sport is definitely tennis and basketball.
Who's the hockey team in Washington?
Washington Capitals.
Oh, they're quite good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think you have any more questions since it's non-tennis related.
No.
Cool. So yeah, now Francis, like into the actual tennis stuff. So, just looking back at your year, I say your year 2020 in general has been a pretty crazy year, like worldwide with the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic and stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah, we'll touch on you actually having the virus and, you know, combating it in a bit. But yeah, like if you can just reflect quickly, like on your year. So if we go back to the beginning, I think you played, was it Auckland in New Zealand before the Australian Open? And then obviously you got to the Australian Open. I think, was it Daniel Medvedev you played in the first round?
Right.
Took him to four sets. But yeah, like if you could just talk about like the start of the year, like if what you remember and like, yeah, how you kind of look back on that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously 2019, I mean, I had some big results, but also at the time I had big results, a lot of early exits and events. So, I didn't have enough to, you know, balance me out in the rankings. So once Australia came around, I knew that was big. I know I needed to definitely find that. So a lot of pressure was around that. Kind of my eyes were really, really focused on that and made it kind of bigger than what it was. So
yeah,
I always had the best mindset going in. Definitely put a lot of pressure on myself going in and try to defend that, because knowing if I didn't, what comes with that. And reality hit, and then, yeah, you know, I was down close, like low 80s, and which I wasn't for a while. Personally, I think the pandemic is probably the best thing that happened to me.
Wow.
Take some time and, well, obviously not getting it at the time, but yeah, no, just taking time, practicing a bunch. Obviously, I was hired Wayne Ferrer at the time, so.
Yeah, which you're going to come on to.
Yeah, I got to spend some time with him, get in a relationship with him, pick his brain, you know, add some things that he thought it could be useful in my game.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it definitely helped me a lot. And which results showed, I thought I was playing much better, I was happier in a much better place.
No, big time.
And happy with where I'm at now again.
Because that's something I want to touch on. You kind of mentioned it there about playing the challenges. Because we spoke to Zach back in the summer, like so before the US Open. And like obviously we spoke about like, you know, your decisions to basically play challenges as well as playing, you know, ATP events, which is something I really admire, like in terms of you, you know, going back down to play those challenges to get the ranking back up. So like, yeah, how was that for you as well? Was that like an easy decision for you to make, like to say, you know what, I've basically got to go back and grind? Like what was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, not at all. I mean, it's very tough. I mean, obviously you got to drop the ego down, and
yeah,
it's not what you want to be doing, or no, what is it used to, but you got to handle the task at hand. And obviously that challenger especially wasn't easy. I mean, you had some young guys that were playing some great tennis and a ton of good sneaky clay quarters that were in the draw as well. So it was big for me. I mean, that was growth. That was definitely a lot of growth for me to go. Don't win that. I haven't done well in the calendar. 2017, I think the last time I won one. So it was good for me to kind of go back and go and win that, especially that was 125. And
Francis?
Yeah, hello?
Oh, you could hear us. You kind of cut out there for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I hear you guys.
Yeah, so also as well, you touched on adding Wayne Ferreira to the team. Like, what was the thinking behind that? Because obviously now you've got both Wayne and Zach, you know, in your coaching setup. Like, how is that going? And, yeah, was that an easy decision for you to make as well, like adding someone to the team?
No, I mean, it's something that me and Zach actually wanted to do all 2019. I think it was big. I think it definitely helped. I think we definitely needed, you know, that kind of guy. Me and Zach were definitely speaking about it a lot, because obviously Zach's young, and obviously so am I.
Yeah.
Me and Zach have a ton of good results together, but, you know, it's about trying to be the best in the game, right? And I think we need that guy to have that extra knowledge and really get us over certain situations. Obviously, he's been in all situations I've been in and more, and down at the highest level. So you can't beat knowledge.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And look, I don't want to spend too much time like talking about, well, in terms of like, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter, because I think that's been like done to death, to be fair. But I think it was really, really impactful, the video that yourself and your girlfriend, is it Ayan, put together, the Rackets Down, Hands Up campaign. So yeah, props to you for doing that, because I thought that was really like significant and like just a powerful and impactful, you know, piece of like, well, yeah, visuals to kind of see. And like you had Serena in that as well, Gail Monfils, Heather Watson, like players from all over, well, Black players from all over the world. Like what, again, what made you like basically say, you know what, we need to do something? Like was it an easy call for you to make that, you know, decision to say, you know what, I want to actually make this happen and like put this together?
Honestly, it's pretty much her idea. She was telling me all the things that were going on. Obviously, I was aware on it, but I obviously didn't know how much headway it was getting.
Yeah.
I'm not a big news cat, but once all the headway came, I was like, no, you know, this is something I definitely want to. I want to do something about how can we do something where everyone's going to be involved? Or how are we going to do something where, you know, it's not just. It's not something that people are going to be scared of. You know, I'm saying something, what if I'm saying something wrong, right? Mm. Some people are still trying to keep a certain image, which I personally think is bigger than that. But, you know, I mean, you get the gist of it, right? So so what we did in the video, obviously what happened with Michael Brown in 2014 was big. You know, no one had to really say anything, and I'm happy so many people got on and wanted to be a part of it. That was more the biggest thing, and it got a ton of headway, and I was happy where it went.
Yeah, because
bringing guys together, so that was big.
Because we saw you obviously on CNN as well, like afterwards, like kind of speaking about it and like kind of speaking about your experiences of being a Black tennis player on the pro tour. Like, you know, there aren't that many of you. Like, there's, I think in the top 100 at the moment, I want to say there's 5, possibly less. So, again, like obviously, what we're doing in terms of, you know, celebrating the presence of Black players, like someone like you, especially being a guy, because there aren't that many, it's huge. So again, we just want to give you like your praise and like your applause, or the flowers, as they like to say, like give you your flowers now. So yeah, just again, just keep doing what you're doing, because it's huge. And like, you were our player of the, well, you were my player of the year for this year, just because of, you know, your grind in terms of, like I said, playing challenges. And just your overall work ethic, I thought this year has been on point. So again, props to you. I want to touch on the US Open quickly. So, yeah, this year it was, I think there was a record number of, you know, Black female entrants into the singles draw. And two in particular, Robin Montgomery and Hayley Baptiste. I know you have. You're quite close to those two girls. Like, talk about like the kind of relationship you kind of have. Like, cause you're pretty much like the big brother like to them. Like, I saw some videos of you like kind of giving them advice during the US Open. Like, if you can talk a bit about that relationship and like, yeah, like kind of what that means to you.
Yeah, man, it's all about what you know, paying it forward, man. And I personally think Hayley Baptiste and Robin Montgomery, you know, helps them even having the vision or even truly believing about playing pro tennis, you know, it's because of me. You know, they're seeing me each and every day, and they're striving to be like me. I know they look up to me, and I feel like I got to play that role. And I want to be that guy where, you know, they can, you know, I'm an open book. You know, they can come call me anytime, you know, text me anytime, and, you know, tell me what they're going through. Personally, I had great mentors outside the game, but I didn't really have, you know, those guys to really talk and ask questions about, you know, because I had a lot of Kuzma and guys like that, great guys, but, you know, definitely more on the selfish side.
Yeah.
because then obviously we become competitors. Obviously, them being females, it's an entirely different relationship, right? So, but it's big, man, and seeing them do well, seeing them play main draw at the U.S. Open at such a young age, that's an unbelievable experience for them. And I hope they cherish that forever. And I just wanted to let them know that it's all great to have a wild card, but, you know, you want to be here next year and 2 years direct entrance, you know, where you don't need any, no wild card. You're in the main draw because you deserve it. But yeah, I mean, really watch out for those guys. I think they can be special. Lonnie's got to keep the head down, stay focused. Don't get ahead of himself.
Yeah,
I think they can do some really good things.
No, that's pretty sound advice. I like that. And yeah, if you talk about the New York bubble, because I think me personally anyway, that's where the best tennis has played this year. Like that whole, I think it was Cincinnati first, and then the U.S. Open. Yeah. And I think since you played, was Andy Murray in the first round?
Yeah, me and Murray had a good battle.
Yeah,
that was definitely one of my favorite matches. I was so pumped up when I saw that. But yeah, like how was that for you? Like how did you how were you mentally before? Because you know it's crazy because with Andy as well, it was, I feel like he had a lot of pressure as well because of the things that he went through. This is a man that we thought was going to retire last year, which is crazy as well. So how was that for you?
But I was saying it the whole time and kind of going in, the bubble's what you make it. Like it was kind of like, look, man, this is what it is. Everyone's in a circumstance they don't necessarily want to be in. Mm. We're in a global pandemic. Like, we're already here. You might as well make something of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, we can sit here and moan and you know, talk about why me, oh, this is so boring, this, that, and the other. But, you know, every opponent you could possibly play is going through the same conditions as you. No one's out here living a lavish life. And, you know, everything's out of everybody's comfort zone.
To be honest. But Sorry. I just caught you off. Sorry. Continue.
So I was pretty much just saying, I think it helped guys. I mean, it kept guys focused on the game of tennis, no really outside distractions, no fans either. So we kind of go in and be about our business. And I think it created a lot of good tennis. I think guys were playing well. Guys were feeling good, rested.
What was it like in terms of playing with no fans as well? Because I take it that's not
that
something.
That was a whole different conversation because a guy like me loves playing with crowds and things like that. So that was definitely, you know, like it was super tough playing Andy. Like, you know, we're out there battling, it's hard as shit, and like we're having insane points and just like there's no give from the crowd and we're sitting there like. At one point, I was laughing. I was like, "Dude, we play this on any normal circumstance, the crowd's going ballistic. Like here we are." Battling and we could hear crickets. So.
Yeah.
he was geeking out, but it's just like, because that's what you work for, right? You know, yeah. Everything you do in the dark, you want it to, you know, come out in the light. But it is what it is. I mean, you gotta adapt. And I think once the U.S. Open came around, you know, I took it for what it was, accepted it, and
you had your best results at the U.S. Open to date. You got to the fourth
round. Yeah, in the bubble, yeah. So it was nice making another second week, man.
Maybe playing without a crowd is your thing.
I wouldn't say that, man.
To be fair, it was actually one of your matches where it was a... Because when it was happening, at the beginning I was like, okay, maybe we can get used to it. And then you played against Med. And I remember I messaged Eugene like, Eugene, if there was a crowd, I think this would have been an insane... match.
An Arthur Ashe,
yeah. You know, like this U.S. Open, you know, your American player.
For example, that match is entirely different. Like I played him in Australia with a packed crowd in Rod Laver. I'm pumped up. He's pumped up.
Yeah.
The level is insane, right?
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
We're playing on Arthur Ashe, and like we're battling, and it's just like crickets in there.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He's playing crazy, and then you're kind of like, it's kind of a different mindset. It's got to really come from within rather than. You know, I mean, I played Roger on Ash. I played, you know, Zverev on Ash, both five setters.
Yeah.
Two different atmospheres, one at night, one during the day with packed stadiums and all my boys in the box going crazy. You know, I'm used to that feel. I'm like, yo, like, we here. Like, we on Ash. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm playing Medvedev, and I was like, nah, like, we're not here right now. This is not it. Like, this is not it. But it's definitely a learning experience, and happy I went through it.
No, we're looking forward to seeing you obviously again, and hopefully with a crowd this time next year at the US Open. Just going chronologically, so obviously up next was the French Open in terms of Grand Slams, but in September, which is quite weird. So the conditions were, I think that was the most spoke. Well,
yeah, fucking was, terrible, yeah.
Then for us as fans watching it, I remember I literally so was bad. Crying. I was like, I can't. I was like, this is not it. And the craziest thing, Paris is not normally like this around this time, which is what I remember saying in one of the podcast episodes, because we do have a lot of American listeners. And I was just explaining that normally around this time in September is not this cold. Yeah. So I don't know what happened. But yeah, it was, even for us, as much as it's difficult for you, I can imagine even for players, but even for us as fans, it was really, really hard to watch. But
because you played Jan Leonard Struff in the first round, and that went to five.
That was a tough one. Yeah.
Because Francis, no, you really should have won that match. I'm just saying, you really should have.
Right,
won.
Right. I mean, I think like look, yeah. This is another kind of second week type draw. You know, I definitely thought I was a dark horse in that scenario. And I was extremely disappointed. That could have definitely propelled me even more. But I think now looking back, I'd rather take that L and being pissed and being distraught and actually going dropping down a wing at Challenger.
Yeah,
that's not easy too, right? I mean, indeed. Two weeks before that, I just made fucking fourth round of the US Open, so like you and then now you're playing a challenger also with hardly any fans. So like
I do want to speak about the challenger, but just on the Struff match again, because like I said, that went to five sets, and I think in the fourth set you called on the trainer because you have having issues with your back, I think.
Right. It was just so cold and my back was just locking up. It was just yeah, I mean, that happens to me when I play in cold weather. Back is kind of like locked up in the fourth. Snuck out that fourth set, but he got me breaking the fifth. But yeah.
So you're putting that was because of the cold weather, basically, in terms of the back issues, which is understandable. Right. No, fair play. But yeah, so on to the challenger now. So, did you already know that you're going to be basically playing in Italy? At those clay court events, or was that something you kind of decided quite late on?
Yeah, I was going to play the Challenger?
Yeah.
I took a deal because I played the Challenger the week before the French.
Okay.
And I took a late wild card after the US Open. They said if I play that one, I had to play Palma if I didn't make second week of the French. So my mindset was like, yeah, I'm in the second week of the French, so I'm going to have to go and play the Challenger. Then I ended up not. I was like, fuck, I got to go to the Challenger. So I was like, if I'm here... I was like, this is gonna be strictly a business trip. Like, I'm not here to do anything else but to hold this trophy on Sunday.
Love that.
And I'm happy I went and did it, man.
Because that was your fifth Challenger title, I think, in your career.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy, going, man. When I was 17, 18, I was killing them things, man.
Would you say clay court? Would you say clay is like one of your best surfaces then?
Yeah, people sleep on me on the clay. I think I'm a dark horse on the clay for sure. I mean, I definitely can win a lot of matches on clay. Mm. I mean, my forehand's really heavy. I can move. I have good intangibles, so I think I can play pretty well on clay. A lot of people, think I'm more dangerous on a hard court. Yeah, I mean, that's comfortable, but I can definitely do some damage on clay.
No, I hear that, definitely. And then, to close out the year, you played in Kazakhstan. I want to say, is it Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan?
Yeah. That was another week where I thought I could have went a little deeper, but Milman's a tough out.
Because you got to the semis, Nur-Sultan, I think it was called.
Right.
And that was one of the new two ATP 250 events. Again, I remember watching every single match. And yeah, again, that John Milman match, I thought you were going to do it. Because I'm pretty sure you won the first set, I think you won the first set.
Won the first set, and I was holding pretty easily in the second.
And then,
honestly, got a little winded. I mean, I played a ton of matches. In a row, playing so many tournaments in a row, obviously that jamming up the season, and I was fatigue, and he was ready for it, and he just willed it. He willed it out.
Yeah.
And you got to give respect to a guy like that.
Because it's funny, obviously you played him literally the US Open, a few months before.
I still think he'd rather take that US Open.
definitely. Although he did win the tournaments, and that was his first ever ATP title.
I was big. Congratulations.
No, fair play. But again, it was great watching you at that event, because obviously I knew that was going to be your last event of the year. So obviously it's a shame you couldn't end up going all the way. But I thought you played some brilliant tennis to like close out the year.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I played, especially my first two opening rounds, playing against two young guys. Played well against those guys. Won pretty convincingly. And grass was not easy. I mean, he serves well indoors, especially. So it was good. I mean, it was a good week.
Especially with someone who actually also, you know, had like to experience the whole COVID situation as well. So the fact that, you know, you were able to come back and then just play really well as well, that was really, really cool to see.
No, definitely. And just closing, Francis, so how would you like kind of evaluate, or what mark would you give yourself for this year? So out of, let's say, out of 10, what would be your mark for your kind of play for 2020?
I'll probably give myself 7-8. Yeah, I was pretty happy with it. I mean, I think I would have gave myself, you know, probably like I'll probably give myself a 7. I mean, I think it's really good. It can always be better, so you don't want to be satisfied. But, you know, for example, you know, that scruff match and going for a run in Paris would have definitely put me at an 8-9. Yeah. You go back-to-back second weeks of slams, those are big, but then I take positive and like, you know, Wayne Callagher making semis of a 250, which I haven't done in a while. So you also got to take positive in that. So, but you know, I always want more.
No, fair enough. I like that.
So, looking ahead to 2021, what are some of the short term targets you've set yourself?
Honestly, man, being super consistent, put myself in position to go deep in draws every week, cut out the first round losses, at least be 50% each week as far as win-loss ratio goes, and personally get on the top of the game, you know, be ranked where I should be ranked, and, you know, in inside 20, you know, playing guys like Shapovalov and Felix and, you know, Demon Artie's guys, Medvedev. I don't see much of a difference than those guys, Kachanov and with myself, obviously, but they bring it each and every week, and that's something that I definitely started to do pretty well post-break, and I want to keep carrying on next season because I'm ready to really hit my stride. You know, I got a good team around me. I put my head down doing the work, and I'm ready to go for it.
Oh, I love that, Francis. And, yeah, again, final question. So we caught you, obviously, like I said, you're in the middle of your pre-season. So, like, yeah, if you can just give us an idea of, like, the kind of work you're putting in at the moment and, like, when you started, like, when did you pick up a racket again, basically, to start getting ready for
2020? Yeah, I didn't pick a racket pretty much all November. I was kind of just chilling. I mean, I took a couple weeks off, went to Dallas, hung out. Nice. Boys, and, you know, went to L.A., saw my girl. But I've been running a lot.
Getting that cardio
long,
up.
It was long distance, kind of just getting lost, being your own thoughts. No headphones, you just kind of just doing a ton of long runs. Some sprint work, some strength work, and then started playing tennis down here in Florida the last couple of weeks, working. Being super low-key, just kind of just getting the work in. And, just as far as my game, serve and get better. Working on volleys, making sure the techniques sound. I want to definitely start coming in more. And as far as from the back of the court, it's easy enough to be aggressive and not always defensive. So.
Well, that sounds incredible. Like, I can't wait to see you again in action come 2021.
Right.
Do you know what event you'll be playing first? Because obviously, I think the Australian Open, that's been pushed back.
So we'll see. We'll see. It's all up in the air. Australia.
Nothing's really been made official yet in terms of schedule.
Right. So everything's a lot of hearsay, but we'll see.
How do you feel about the whole quarantining thing as well? Like, is that something you're gonna have to do it?
I don't think anyone's excited for that. I'm not excited for that at all, but. And it's the name of the game right now. It's our new normal. So, indeed. Again, you know, I'm not the only one doing it. All my other possible opponents are doing the same. So, no excuses.
Lucy touched on it quickly before we finish. Obviously, you had COVID back in the summer and your brother Franklin. Obviously, you're over it now. But, like, was that debilitating for you? Like, did you find it difficult coming back from that? Or is it something you kind of just, you know, brushed to one side and just, yeah, just got back to it?
I was in at the crib for a month. I mean, I had, it was a lot mentally because, one, I was like, damn, like, I don't know where to go. Then I did it at my mom's crib. So every day I'm kind of like, my mom, I was like, make sure my mom getting tested all the time. I was like, she better not get it. Like, and then on top of that, like, you know, doctors tell me I had false positive. And they said, no, you are positive. And then like, I was just like, so I was getting super pissed off with that. Obviously, I had to have two negative tests. Yeah. So it was just a lot. A lot of time in the crib. And, you know, then obviously in the media, a lot of people, you know, guessing and making assumptions of why I had it, yeah, rather than actually just thinking, wow, I actually, you know, feeling sorry for an individual actually having, you know, global virus. But, yeah, hey, you know, that is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, it was overall a lot. And as far as getting through it, coming back, we took it lightly. I think we did it the right way. You know, I didn't push myself too hard in the beginning. Every day I gradually did more and more and more, and I felt okay. I didn't try to go crazy because out the gate, even if City Open happened, City Open ended up canceling was big for me, having an extra week to get ready for the bubble.
Yeah, it bought you more time. Yeah.
I personally was on the phone with Mark on and stuff, and I would have tried to play knowing me because it's my backyard, but I think it definitely would have been the smart thing to play because I just wasn't really physically ready for that. But yeah, it ended up helping me for sure.
No, fair play. Well, yeah, Francis, that pretty much wraps up all the questions. So again, man, massive, massive thank you. Like, we really appreciate your time.
And apologize at the beginning. We had some severe technical difficulties.
Good, tech issues.
You guys are all good. Don't even worry about it. Appreciate it, man.
No, thank you very much.
Listen, you take care and enjoy the rest of your day. And yeah, good luck to Franklin. I know he's playing in a tournament that you guys are watching. So yeah, good luck. But yeah, you take care, man.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. So yeah, Lucy, we just literally finished biggest interview to date.
To date. Let's just clarify, to date.
Yeah. With the one and only Francis Tiofo. Again, man, massive thanks for your time, Francis. And yeah, again, shouts out to Zach Evenden as well for like putting that all in place.
Yeah, thank you a lot for that.
So yeah, Lucy, what were your immediate thoughts?
First of all, can I just clarify that I was so fucking nervous. So that's why I was very quiet, and I let you. This is Eugene's bag. He's a media guy.
Don't.
I'm just here to just entertain people. But no, really, I think that was really amazing. It's such a big deal. Again, we've already said that it's such a big deal getting recognition from other black players. So I actually have an opportunity to interview one of them, and this podcast has been running for less than a year. It's pretty fucking amazing.
Wild, yeah.
I don't think it, as it was even happening, I don't think it was clicking in for me. And plus, I was spending, because I'm the only one who had the headphones on, so my concern was making sure that we can hear him properly as well.
We had a few technical issues,
guys. We had,
but we pulled through.
This, like, it was such an issue that if you guys watch our IG story once, I was talking about how we set up and it's me doing nothing and Eugene doing everything. That was the first ever time I've done something. And Eugene, I give you props for setting up because.
Damn.
Ciao. I can do this.
You came through today. I came through.
I appreciate you. So I'm not that useless. But how did you find it?
Oh, I loved every minute of it.
First,
man,
of all, you, like, did really, really good. You know, in your interview bags, you know.
Team effort.
You know, like, that's what I love. I was like, yeah, I'm leaving this here. Like, he was out here, like, dodging me and stuff. Like, yo, like, ask him a question. I'm like, no.
Team effort, man. But no, like, I just think Francis, he's a really fascinating, like, guy, like, in terms of character. Like,
yeah.
And I think speaking to him, obviously, that's the first time you've spoken to him, like, on the phone or like, yeah, in person or whatever, like, you kind of, what you see is what you get. So like, I got the vibe that I get from him, like, on the court when I'm watching him, like, it was the same vibe I got on the phone.
Yeah, it wasn't someone different,
yeah, which I think says a lot. And like, just, yeah, it's testament to his character. Like, he's just a good all-round good guy. Like, so yeah, man, I'm still like kind of in shock.
Cloud nine.
Like, pretty much, yeah. Like, because like you said, we've been getting recognition from like players and stuff that we're celebrating, and now to actually speak to one, like, he's literally part of the next gen, like, coming up. And I think he's got a massive future ahead of him. And, like,
100%.
For us to kind of get to, well, get to speak to him, like, in his early stages of
I mean,
his
he
career.
Is the biggest, if you think about it, like, black black man player,
and
that's
this,
the thing.
This is
yeah.
what I'm saying, like, well, American, definitely. There's
American,
no,
yeah, exactly.
So, definitely. So, I just think it's massive. And I'm excited for his future. In terms, I say his future's immediate future. Like, so looking at next year, like he was saying about the work he's been putting in pre-season. And, like, yeah,
he's been grinding this year anyways. And this is someone who even had COVID as well.
Exactly.
He's been grinding a panoramic.
So, yeah, guys, man, like, appreciate you guys tuning in. And yeah, something we kind of kept quiet because it was something that we were working on, like, in the background. But yeah, we finally kind of managed to get it all done. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll be seeing you, or yeah, you'll be hearing from us again in 2021. So appreciate you all for tuning in. And yeah, until next time, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.